welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
I think that is going to be probably the most unusual Palm Sunday drama you ever see. I wondered if he's going to do that. Oh, you're on the ball now. It's going to turn into a pantomime. Oh. Easter pantomimes. Oh, praise God, eh? So, make sure if you were at part of that drama that you got your eggs over there. I don't know where the egg bucket's gone. I think the whole lot are being... Now Brian's got some, but there's another bucket of eggs over there being chomped upon. Oh, fantastic. So, also, while we're saying thanks to everybody that just did that drama, I want to say as well a big thank you to everybody that made... our fun day, Easter fun day, or Palm Sunday fun day yesterday. What happened? It was awesome. I know that there's so many different people involved and doing different things, from craft to well, lots of hoovering of porridge oats. And if you weren't there, you just missed that bit. To praying into the event, to I don't know, everything that went in. There was a lot of hard work, but I tell you what, didn't it pay off? All of us was there. It was a fabulous day. And it was so... wonderful to have so many visitors, and so many visitors leaving, you know, really just commenting on what a fantastic day they'd had. You know, isn't that good? Amen. And it was absolutely fabulous. It was great to see so many people here, and it was a really good start to what I was saying earlier, really is the most important week of the year for us. It's not Christmas, we all enjoy Christmas, but it's not the most important event in our church calendar. And in fact, it's this week that's the most important, because every day has some significance. If you haven't planned it already, I really recommend this week you read through the gospel stories of what was going on in this week. You know it's significant because this particular week takes up so much space of what those gospel writers, those New Testament writers, put down. You know, I mean, they had the whole life of Jesus, and we know virtually nothing. There's a couple of them talk about Christmas, or what we now call Christmas. Then we hear nothing, really, about his life, apart from one small incident when Jesus was 12. And then we jump to when he started his ministry, around the age of 30. And but then the Gospels tell us quite a lot of what went on, but still the focus... in the Bible, it's just that last week, which is incredible. When you think how significant the whole life of Jesus must be, that means that the end of his life, that last week of his life, must be so incredibly significant that that's what the writers that knew him so well wanted to get down. And that's what we're going to look at. But other things that are happening this week, we've got, let's go through it in chronological order. I was going to do that next, but before that, on Thursday night, it's normally God Encounter here. It will be our normal Thursday night meeting, except that it's going to be, I kind of see it as joining Jesus in the garden, although we're going to share communion together as well, which obviously happened just before the garden. But it's that time in the garden, and if you remember, Jesus said to his disciples, "Will you pray with me?" at that time. So we're just going to spend some time. We're going to worship, but it's going to be quiet. It's going to be reflective. And we just want to get into what was happening over those next few days. There's not going to be a long sermon or anything like that. It's for us to spend time together, hearing directly from God together. So that's Maundy Thursday at 7:30 here. And don't forget, next week, there isn't a Thursday night. And then on Friday... which Good Friday, because it really is good news what happened on that day. I used to be so confused about why it was called Good Friday before I was a Christian, because I knew Jesus had died on the Friday, so why on earth did Christians call it Good Friday? You know, it just didn't seem to make sense. You have to know the story before you know why it makes sense. Do you know why it makes sense? But it's slightly different this year. Don't turn up to the normal car park, pardon me, or you will be on a very lonely march by yourself. Because we are meeting at Alma Square. If you don't know where that is, it's right at the top of Westboro, just a little bit down from the railway station. Okay? So you'll be able to see it, because you'll see lots of people gathering there. So we're meeting at Alma Square, or Google it. just off Westborough for 9:30 for a 10 o'clock start. And it's all a bit different this year because part of it's being acted out as a drama, as a kind of on-the-streets passion play as well. So a great sort of brave step of some people to do that. And then, of course, Easter Sunday morning, the most important Sunday of the year, Resurrection Sunday. Hoo-hoo! We'll be here to celebrate how awesome Jesus is. I love Sunday morning. There's just that sense of every Sunday of Resurrection Sunday morning, particularly of this is a new beginning, you know? This is a new start. Here we go into another year of what Jesus is doing. Because Sunday morning isn't the death, it isn't the forgiveness, it isn't the whole message of that gospel, but Sunday morning is right now we step into it. Now the tomb is broken open. Now that everything that holds people back is smashed apart, and it's time to step into it. And that's what we celebrate next week. So what was happening this Sunday then, all those years ago, because they didn't yet know about what was going to happen next Sunday. Nobody really knew. Not even his disciples had grasped the significance of this week. Somebody said in the drama, Jesus looks a little bit sad. I wonder if he did. I don't know. There must have been some element because he alone knew what he was going to go through that week. And we know from the Thursday that he wasn't like, yip-de-doo, this is going to be great. Because on that Thursday night, he suffered. He even got to the point of saying to God, his Father, take this away from me. But he immediately said, no, that can't happen. Because he loved the people he'd come for so much that he was prepared to go into that suffering because he knew it needed to happen. But there's a question that the guys asked. It was a really good question. Of the crew that were up here, they said, "Who are you waiting for?" And I think that's a really good question that everybody should ask. There you go. Who? Who are you waiting for? Now, for those people waiting there, they said some things that were right, and they said some things that were wrong. Did you notice? Did you notice that I think it was the student of doing a BA in mission and theology that talked about Jesus raising his son Lazarus from the dead? I'd just like to get it on record now, that's not what's taught on that course. That was so funny. But he did raise his friend Lazarus from the dead. But the people that were like, they had a range of ideas. I mean, I don't remember from the actual story that Kate read earlier about Spider-Man and Mike and the little girl and all the... I don't remember them being there, but there was as much confusion over who Jesus was, who were we waiting for, as there was in the confusion of the makeup of that crowd. I mean, that was a whole mixture of superheroes and cartoon characters and drunk pirates. He did act that a bit too well. That you just don't normally get together. And some of the questions that were going on in people's minds are the sort of questions that you just don't get together. And off this question, although it was being asked, who are we waiting for? There was a lot of confusion. Because they already thought they knew the answer. I mean, they said, he's come to overthrow us from the Romans. He didn't do that. Because in their minds, they got the idea, the Jewish people, who were the people waving, because they were there for the Jewish festival of Passover, they were celebrating Jesus coming in on a donkey, and there was somebody that said it quite right. He rode on a donkey to fulfill prophecy that he was the king. But he wasn't going to be the kind of king they were expecting. Someone who would raise an army of soldiers. They said, where are the soldiers? Where are the soldiers? Because who Jesus actually was someone quite different, really, to what they imagined. Another question that you could answer, which would be very, very similar, if I get rid of who, I'd just rub it out there. Look at that. Cool. I've got a long-range finger. Another question. Let's try if we can do some joined up writing as the children are here. There we go. What are we waiting for? This might actually fit more modern humans. What are we waiting for? Some people are waiting for a remarkable politician who will save us from the situation we've got ourselves into. There's always people looking forward to a new leader. I mean, you're probably thinking, I've never looked forward to a politician rescuing me at all. But there are people. You know, I don't want to turn, I'm not turning this into a political debate, but people have looked forward to previous leaders and thought this is going to be a golden age. And then it usually doesn't quite pan out that way. People were very excited about Tony Blair becoming Prime Minister. People were excited, I'm heard, that David Cameron was becoming Prime Minister. Some people are very excited that Jeremy Corbyn could be Prime Minister. Yeah, I'll get you in response. We are, don't forget, we are called to honour our leaders, whatever their colour. Well, we need to honour them and pray for them. As I wouldn't want that job, I don't know about you. But we won't go into the political side. But there is that kind of, what are we waiting for? You see, the people in the march, some of them were waiting for a political figure, a king, that would lead them in a physical army to defeat the Romans. And people perhaps are waiting for some great philosopher or some great thoughtful person, some particularly in someone with great insight into the atheistic philosophy that will give us something that we can live for. What are we waiting for? What are you waiting for? Because we can put Jesus in an image as well. I mean, for a lot of people, Jesus is about as important as Spider-Man, and maybe less so. He's just a fantastical superhero, or even just a fantastical figure. What are you waiting for? What is going on in your head? Because it's an important question to ask. Well, what did Jesus claim to be? Or who did he claim to be? These are really good questions. And I think what we want to do here is we're about giving people that opportunity of asking these questions. Because I want to tell you now, nobody can ever force you to become a Christian. It's a bit like I said earlier with Matthew, sitting in his tax booth collecting taxes. Jesus came up to him and said, come follow me. Now, I don't expect that was the first thing that Matthew had ever heard, or Levi, as he was known then, had ever heard of Jesus. I'm sure he'd heard a lot more. He may have even been watching him and listening to his teaching. But for each person, there comes a point. And you might be sitting very comfortably, relaxing on a sofa. You might be lying in bed. You might be here this morning. When Jesus, you know, is saying to you, come follow me. Or maybe he says, come, follow me. Because he comes as Lord. Sometimes the gospel sounds a bit like one of those letters or emails you get from somebody needing money from Nigeria. You know, the latest one, I don't know if you had this one. Have you had this one? About the African astronaut. Yeah? If you haven't had it yet, I hope none of you's invested in it. But there's one, and there's this poor guy, apparently, Tunde, T-U-N-D-E, who has been stuck up in the Russian space station, apparently, I think for something like 30 years, because they couldn't fit him on the craft that was supposed to bring him back. There wasn't enough room, goodness knows what they were bringing back, but they couldn't fit him on there. So he's been stuck up there. And he's doing fine, he's perfectly healthy, but he wants to come home. But fortunately, because, or unfortunately, to get home, he's got to pay the Russians. And he's got to pay the Russians a lot of money. But because he's in space, he can't access his online bank account. So he needs your help. And if you just give your bank details to these friends acting for Tunde, they can release the money to your bank account, this 15-odd million plus, because, of course, he's still been earning his African astronaut income while he's been up there, and he's earned a lot of money while he's been up there. That money will be released to your bank account, and you can pay the Russians off. And fortunately, to bring Tunde back is only 3 million, so you get to keep 12 million. What a deal. And all you've got to do is give them full access to your bank account and it's just going to happen. And apparently that scam has actually raked in millions. Yeah, because people have gone for it. Because it wasn't, when you read the email, you don't hear the way I'm saying it to you. As I'm telling you it's ridiculous. But when you read the people that have read the email have thought, oh, this poor guy needs to get home to his family and I get to make 12 million. It's a combination of being stupid and and greed. But the gospel, I think, to some modern ears, can sound like one of those Nigerian. They're usually Nigerian. I've not got anything against Nigerians. Of course I haven't. But they're one of those emails that's trying to scam you for money. And all they always want your bank account. And you're always going to get rich. They're trying to get people's greed so that they can have the money off of them instead, of course. But Jesus' message actually isn't like that at all. Because although the whole story of Easter is about Jesus winning your freedom, and when you say yes to Jesus, what you get is freedom. Not rules, not regulations, but freedom. Freedom to be who you were created to be in the first place. Everything else in your life that drags you away from you being you is because you haven't yet said yes to Jesus. But it's not a free offer. It costs you absolutely everything. You surrender your life to Jesus. You say, I will make you Lord. I can't sugarcoat it. I can't make it lovely-dovely. Sometimes you hear people preach the gospel and they make it sound like a Nigerian email. They make it sound like you're just going to have your bank credited with grace and love and joy and peace and that's it. But I want you to know there's a cost. Jesus said you'll have to take up the cross and follow me. You won't any longer be able to just do whatever you want whenever you feel like it on whatever impulse, because you will be saying, I'm going to follow Jesus. Now that will give you freedom. That will give you the freedom you're supposed to have. Because the other kind of freedom, the ability to do what you want when you want, actually leads you to a prison cell. It actually leads you to captivity. Because you'll end up like Jack Sparrow with his bottle on the end up here. He might have thought he was, he's not a believer, so he can drink whatever he likes, whenever he likes, and he's completely free. And you know, he's completely enslaved. The only true freedom is what you get in Christ. Amen? So, and I'm keeping this simple because I'm a simple person, really. Let's get rid of the what. Because I want to ask another question of you. Especially if you're someone here and you've never really said yes to Jesus. And that's this question. They're all W's. So many questions start with these W words. And that's when. When will you stop waiting? Because I want you to know the mystical answer that you're waiting for is not out there somewhere. It's here. Today, you can know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Today, you can make Jesus your Lord. Maybe you've been sort of semi-Christian and semi-coming to church and semi-doing this. But that wasn't what Jesus said. When he said, come, follow me, it wasn't come, follow me, but if you're busy on Saturday, that's okay. It was come, follow me. And if you're busy on Saturday, stop it, because I want you with me. You know, this is really the church that Jesus is looking for today. Are people that say yes to him, even when our personal desires come against it. But what you will have is true freedom. It's like when you drive on the road. If we were free to drive however we liked, on whatever side of the road we liked, nobody would ever get anywhere, because it would just be a constant series of accidents. But because people follow the rules of the road, we're free to drive all the way to wherever we want. And when we go over to France or somewhere like that, we follow how they do it on their side of the road. Even though they're completely wrong, we... you know, and the Japanese have got this correct, haven't they? I was going to say they got it right, but they drive on the left. So, but it gives a freedom to get to places. And that's actually what it's like when you follow Jesus. It's not Jesus saves you so you can do whatever you want. That's not what grace is. Grace isn't, oh, you can do whatever you like. Grace enables you to keep on the right side of the road or the left side of the road so that your life can be lived out in freedom, so that you can get places, so that you can go somewhere, so that your life matters, so that you can discover the destiny, the purpose that you have. Whether you're 6 years old or 8 years old or 10 years old or 90 years old, you still have destiny and you still have purpose that you can live out in Jesus. But you don't discover it just doing what you want. You have to decide, when am I going to stop waiting for somebody else to do something? When am I going to take action? And I'd give you that challenge today, that you could take action today. Yes, I'm going to make him Lord of my life. I don't fully understand what that means, but I'm going to do it. And that's what grace is for. Grace is the unmerited favor of God that enables you to live a life following Jesus. You won't ever be able to do it by yourself. Whenever you look at what it involves being a Christian, it is impossible on your own. But you will never be on your own. You just say yes to him. And he comes and enables you. And in fact, your desires and your wishes and your passions begin to line up with what Jesus wants anyway, because that was always within you. The other stuff that comes in, like the Jack Sparrow wanting the bottle stuff, is never you anyway. It was that fallen, corrupt part of you that got tainted by what others have done to you. The true you is free from alcohol. The true you is free from drugs. The true you is free from lust. The true you is free from lying. Because the true you is who you are in Jesus. So, the last bit, really, just to use my little screen here. It's going about the speed of a very slow snail at the moment. Are you using the internet out there? Well, that still says what? I've got half a when written on my screen. What I was going to put up there was why. Why? Why are you waiting any longer? Why are you holding back from giving your life 100% to Jesus? There's different people sat in the room today, and wherever you are, that's perfectly great. Because Jesus comes to you at the tax booth and says, come follow me, and you have the choice. It's not like anyone can force you to do it. But why are you waiting? Rather than just saying, yeah, I need to do this. I need to live in that grace that enables me to live. And I'm going to ask people to come forward in a minute. And there's a bit of me that doesn't mind. I don't mind if there's nobody that comes forward. Because every now and then it's important we give these opportunity. And you're going to come forward in front of everybody else that's sitting here. Which for some people is extremely difficult to do. But being a Christian is not a private thing. Being a Christian is being part of a team that's called to change the world. The church is not an organization, it's a movement. The church is not some quiet little group. It is a movement that's called to change the world, that have been called by God. So you can't really just say, I'm privately a Christian, I'm going to keep it to myself. It is a public thing. And so making a public declaration in front of other people is a very important beginning for you. Because there's an awful lot of other people out there that need to know this. That need to know that Good Friday truly is good news, because it was God's answer to enabling us to come back into a relationship with him. Because that's what it's about. It's not about legalistic rules, although we're not free to just live exactly how we want in sin and degradation. We're called to live as he's called us. It's not a legalistic set of rules that we just follow because we have to. It's stepping into a relationship that gives freedom. See, I've got some of these as well. If you're making a first, if you're making a first-time decision, or maybe you're just asking this question, why? These Why Jesus booklets are brilliant. Why Jesus? There's some great questions in here. Why do we need him? That's a good one. Why bother with Jesus? Why did he come? Far more than, they're short, but there's a lot more than I've been able to cover in just a few minutes here this morning. So I want you to have one of those as well. But the call forward, therefore, is for those of you that have never known him who want to say yes this morning. And we'll give you one of these as well. It's for those of you who've said yes kind of privately and perhaps even prayed with somebody, but this morning you're going to publicly say, yes, I'm one of yours, Jesus. And so I'm going to give that opportunity in just 1 minute now. I'm just giving it a moment for you to reflect. And maybe you certainly weren't thinking of doing this today. And maybe the drama earlier was so sort of out there, it made you sort of think, what on earth am I believing? What on earth do I think? And actually right now you just need to take a reality check, because you know that you have always wanted a relationship with God, because that is in the heart of everyone. And Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. And to you this morning he says, come follow me. Matthew didn't know everything about Jesus at that point. Matthew certainly didn't know he was going to write a whole book that would become part of the Bible. Matthew didn't know that the rest of his life would be completely different. But he knew he needed to say yes to Jesus. So, let's all stand, shall we? And maybe we'll have Claire on the keyboard, because we can. In fact, we'll have all the worship team up, because we're going to finish in a short while with a song, so all the worship team can come up, actually. We're going to go out with a big shout right at the end, with the shout Hosanna that everybody was shouting when Jesus came on Palm Sunday. Because Hosanna means save us. Amen. Save us from ourselves. Save us. Save me from just messing up every time and just, oh God, I want to go your way. That's what Hosanna is saying. It's a desperate cry. It's not just praise Jesus. It's a desperate cry for God, come and by your grace enable me to live after you. Enable me to be free from sin. Enable me to be free from sickness. Enable me to rescue my family. Whatever it is for you, it comes in the Hosanna.
Amen, amen, amen.
But before we get to that, now's that time. If the band just start playing, maybe that, we were singing it earlier, so very loudly and triumphantly, we were singing Amazing Grace. Why don't you come into that Amazing Grace right now? That enablement of God. And what I want you to do, if you're saying yes to Jesus for the first time, or you're saying yes to Jesus because you want to make a new commitment to making him your Lord, you don't want to be all over the road, you want to be on the right side of the road. And you want to give over the control of that vehicle that you're in, which is you personally, to a new driver. And that is Jesus himself. You're going to let go of the steering wheel. It's not about listening to Jesus songs on the radio. It's about giving everything to him. So there's really those two people. Making Jesus your Lord this morning. What a great time just before Easter to say yes to him. Why don't you come and stand down the front if that's going to be you today? You might be the only one, or there might be a dozen. It doesn't matter. This is you with Jesus saying, come, follow me. Praise God. Well done, Christina. There are some more here, and you need to do it this morning. Make your public yes to Jesus, because he's saying to you, and you know he's saying it because your heart is beating within you, come follow me, says Jesus to you. And answer him by walking out of where you're standing right now. Come and join Christina at the front here who's saying yes to Jesus, making him Lord of her life. By yourself, doing your own thing, you also need to say yes to Jesus afresh today. Recommit to making him Lord of your life. You also, you should come down the front here and just say yes to Jesus publicly in front of everyone. Actually mean it this way around, but I think it's brilliant. You're actually facing everybody. I was going to say face me, but you face everybody else because you're publicly saying yes to Jesus. And I know that you've both made a commitment to Jesus before, but I know what you're really doing is, right, I'm in this, I'm saying, I'm going to get out the tax booth like Matthew. My life's never going to be the same again because I'm making Jesus my Lord. And that's an amazing step. God, I need to. Hallelujah. After we finish, I'm going to ask Brian and Shona just to come and pray individually with you. Alright? So that you can just, I would like you to just say to them exactly why you've responded this morning. But we'll pray for you all together right now, shall we? Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for disciples. People that are prepared to stand out. People that are prepared to be different. And people that are prepared to say yes to you. And I thank you, Father, that this morning we have two more Matthews here. People that have got up out of their ordinary life and said, yes, I will follow you, Jesus. I will make you Lord of my life, whatever that takes, whatever it costs. And I thank you, Lord, that you will honor that. And their lives are going to be one of an adventure of following you. And a life of relationship with you, Jesus. And a life of freedom. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you want one of those Why Jesus books, you're welcome to have one. But here you go. If you go and join Brian and Sharon, then they can. Disturbing me, you're responding to Jesus. If there's anybody else that wanted to respond, this is your moment. Oh. song, praise God. I've never ever done two before. Hallelujah. It's got to be you. I could come over and persuade you and try and get you here, but this is just Jesus and you now. And he's not letting me let go just right at this moment, so we were going to move on, but we won't. We'll wait for you. Come on. You were given one of the palm crosses as you came in this morning. Why not take hold of this completely this morning? Jesus surrendered his life on the cross so that you can live in freedom. Thank you, Father. I've got plenty of these if you'd like one afterwards, if you still want to be in the position of just inquiring further, okay? But don't come forward and say, I want it to come forward. That's such a sad thing to do. Do it. We're waiting for you right now. A lot more than two, by the way. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. We're going to sing Hosanna, which means save us. It's great to see these people giving their lives to Jesus as their Lord and Savior this morning. We're surrendering to live with Him. So we're going to celebrate that as we sing this song. And also, just as we finish, Peter over there, or Peter's team, will send our buckets round, because we haven't had the opportunity to give yet this morning. So take that opportunity to sow into the work of the kingdom. He'll send those around. If you want to use a card, there's slips in there you can use for. But really, let's just worship Jesus. Let's rejoice in Jesus. It's going to interrupt your guys' conversations, but you can get back to it in a minute. Let's stand, shall we? And for our last time this morning, before we break and have coffee and enjoy one another's company, let us sing Hosanna. Amen? How are you guys then?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.